If you're giving away free coffee, I loved it.
Come on, you might as well. Yeah, yeah. Since I don't just, drink it, might as well give it to somebody
problem.
Else.
You don't either, so we're just going to deduct it from your check. So
sounds
that's
good.
It.
Hey, for the kingdom.
I want you all to go get coffee on Mario. So when you go back there, you tell them, this is on Mario.
It's on Mario. Take care of you.
So thank you.
One time.
That's cool. That's awesome right there. I think it's so cool because on the first Sunday of every month, our students from downstairs are with us. And like, they're all over here, most of them over here right there. So I love you guys, man. Let's give them a hand right there. So shall we? Yay. So Pastor Josiah comes in and the students come in. I just think it's amazing. So you guys are awesome. And I just love what you do. I love everyone here. And so thank you for doing it. Also, we're going to give a shout out to our CrossPoint teams, all right? So we have this campus here led by Donna Beaver, and so she leads the Eagles campus, and we have another campus down about 8 miles away, CrossPoint. Andy is there, Melissa's there, and they lead that campus. And so, but our CrossPoint, four teams are going to state. Yeah, so are you ready? So our guys, men's cross-country team, let's hear it for them, yay. Okay. The girls' volleyball team, let's hear it for them. Yay. The women's soccer team, let's hear it for them. And the men's soccer team, let's hear it for them. Let's hear it for everybody. Yay. So, on the state. And so, anyway, congratulations to each one of them. It's really cool, and they represent us, and so be praying for them, okay? It's not really fair to pray that somebody else loses, but I think that's probably what we should do. Pray that we win and they lose. Anyway, okay, so have you ever received one of those phone calls from like a long lost friend? Have you received one of those? And you're really, really thankful that you did, and you just had this really great conversation with somebody you haven't been able to connect with in a while. How many have ever had that happen, right? So, yeah, it's really great. And so you spend a lot of time on the phone and so on. And so, like, how many do not have a mobile phone? Like everybody does, you know, so we all do, right? And they're really, so I think most of us do. Anyway, so you usually check the number, right? And better if there's a name associated with the number. But I got a phone call, and it was just the number. And so I'm thinking, well, and it's a local number, too. So I'm thinking, it's, you know, I want to chat it up. It might be one of you, you know. So I want to chat it up with one of you and one of my friends, right? And so I answer it, and I say, hello. And this wonderful chick on the other side says to me, hello, Thomas. Nobody calls me Thomas but my mother, and she passed away a month ago, so I don't think so, you know. So anyway, hello, Thomas. And she goes on, this chick goes on to say, we're so glad that you recently stayed in one of our resorts. You have the same friend? Yeah. No kidding. And so, I'm responding. And I'm saying to her, stop talking. Because she's going on and on. I say, stop. I did not stay in your resort. We've never gone to a resort. We have not gone to your resort. And I said, stop talking. And you know what she does? She keeps on talking, and she goes on to the next line, and I said, I'm on the no-call list. Don't talk to me. And so it happened like happened more than three times, but after about the third time, somebody told me, goes, you know what, that's not like a real person. It's a recording that you're talking to, you know, and I'm going, wow, no wonder, you know, stop talking. So, and she just keeps on going, you know. That's just like when you go to the mailbox, and you open up your mailbox, and it says, dear occupant, isn't that just make you feel good all over the place, you know, like, dear occupant, or to whom it might concern, to whom it may concern, you just can't hardly wait to get in, open up that piece of mail, because it makes your jaws all warm and fuzzy, doesn't it? Not at all. Well, one day I went home from the office here, popped in for lunch or something, and on my doorstep was this package. It wasn't from Amazon. God bless Amazon. Buy it now, click, all that kind of thing. But it wasn't Amazon. It was a package. And when I looked down at it, it was from my mortgage company. You know, I'm thinking, oh, boy. Now, my wife, she handles all of our finances. She pays all the bills because she's good at it. And she doesn't forget anything, you know, never. She never forgets that stuff. And I'm thinking, they're going to take my home away, you know. That's what this thing's about. I opened it up, And so it says that on the package, we want to lower your interest rate. So I threw it away. Guys, I don't care about that. So about 2 months later, guess what happened? I go home, and I walk up on my porch, and there's that another package from my mortgage company. And so I open it just to be sure, and it says, we want to lower your interest rate again. So you know what I did? I threw it away. That's what I did. About 2 or 3 months later, guess what happens, right? So this package comes to my doorstep again. I know the story's getting old now, isn't it? But here's the deal. I open it up, and they said, lower your interest rate again. Now it's like 2 point something. And I think, I'm interested in that. Because like I was at like 5 something, 2.9 or 2.7, whatever it is. And so anyway, we went through that. Here's the difference. They know me. And they were trying to help me, my thinking anyway. And he offering me this thing, and when I listened, it benefited me. I want you to think about God's word for just a moment. You may go, that's kind of a strange segue into God's word. Here's what I want you to think about. Hit the holy inspired word of God that is given to us as wisdom to help us and to lead us in all of life to take the next step in life. It's his inspired word. If you believe that, if you accept that, and it's true, and it is, then it ought to be something that you and I embrace as God's word to you and to me to lead us and to direct us in all life and to help us make decisions. It's not a letter to dear occupant. It's not a letter to whom it may concern. It's to whoever comes and believes. It's to whoever. But it's every follower of Jesus to grant us wisdom and direction in life, and the next step to take is his holy word. And if we believe that it is, now I don't care if it's like my Bible here. I don't care if it's black. I got a letter one time that said the only authorized word of God is black leather bound. God bless that person who wrote the letter, but that is not true. That is not true. I don't care if it's white, black, maroon, burgundy. I don't care if it's on your phone or if it's on your tablet. If it's God's word, it's inspired, and it's given to us to lead us along the way, to help us make decisions, and we're to trust it, and we're to obey it, and we're to walk in its wisdom ways each and every day. It will not let us down. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this. It says all. Everybody say all. All. Okay, so here's that. That means right there. You know what that all means? All. There's no hidden meaning. All means all. And so you might be one that said, I don't like to get into the Old Testament. Doesn't make any difference. The Old Testament is inspired by God. All. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Let's have an honest moment amongst ourselves. Shall we do that? We love when it teaches truth, right? But sometimes we resist the correction that it brings in our life. Sometimes we kind of resist the rebuke. Sometimes, don't we? Just sometimes. We love the truth, but when it corrects us and rebukes us, sometimes we're not so sure about that. But God's living word, his active living word, brings that correction in our life because sometimes we're heading this direction and we need to be heading this direction, and the wisdom of the word does that for us. There are voices in the world today. I don't need to tell you that. Sometimes it's confusing, isn't it? It really is. And it's interesting because I was reading in Proverbs this past week, and Proverbs chapter 9 really talks about two voices that you hear out there. One is the voice of wisdom. Just listen to it. Wisdom has built her house. She has carved its 7 columns. She has prepared a great banquet, mixed the wines, and set the table. She has sent her servants to invite everyone to come in. Here it is. She calls out from the heights overlooking the city. So wisdom calls out. So we hear that voice say, but there's another voice in the world today. And the Proverbs calls it folly. Folly calls for a hearing. The woman named Folly is brash, and she is ignorant and doesn't know it. She sits in her doorway on the heights overlooking the city, and she calls out to men going by who are minding their own business. So we have wisdom calling out, and we have folly calling out, and it's happening today. And that's why Paul, at the first verse, in the first verse of that same passage I just read to you about in 2 Timothy 3:16, where all scripture is inspired, here's what he says to Timothy. He says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there are going to be really difficult times. Now, I don't know exactly, no one knows exactly where we are in the scope of time, but I do know that we walk through difficult times, and you walk through difficult times, and some of you are there right now. But it's God's word who leads us. It's God's word who is wisdom, right in the middle of all the other voices that are coming on, that will lead us into guidance. And we're to embrace it, and we're to take it into our life. Now, the inspired word of God, and we're going to be looking at one of the books here now for the next number of weeks, 1 John. The inspired word of God was inspired by and written by, inspired by God and authored by men, maybe around 40 or so, where God used their characteristics, their personalities, divinely guided each one in writing down his word. And it was given to you and to me. It's powerful. And that's what the Bible calls it. It's living and it's active. And that's why I just implore you to embrace it, to become Bible readers. If you are not now, start. Join in. If this is your first place to start, join with us in reading 1 John. We're going to be talking about for the next number of weeks. It's God's living, active word that guides us. It was given to us. It was inspired by him. It's his word to you and to me. Folly is calling out, but so is wisdom. If you're a follower of Jesus, his word will lead you and direct you in all of your life. Now let's talk about 1 John for just a second. Written by, guess who? John, right, John. So he wrote five books in the New Testament. So he wrote the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and then the book of Revelation. Let me kind of introduce you to his life for just a moment. According to history and all that we know, all the apostles except for one died a martyr's death, which is, we should take note of that, by the way. A little sidebar here. And the reason that we should is for this reason. Nobody dies for a lie. Nobody dies for a lie. And when these apostles gave their life, and they were with the resurrected Jesus, they knew him and they experienced him. And because he really did die and because he really was resurrected, they were willing to die, and they did. All the apostles except for one, and it's John. Now, they tried to kill him. History records that they threw him into a pot of boiling oil to kill him. And by the way, if you go through and you take time to just kind of read and understand how some of them died, it was gruesome. And they went to their death for the one that they loved and the one that they knew, Jesus. They tried to kill John, but miraculously, he was saved from that pot of boiling oil. And died peacefully as an elderly man. It was John that we're taking a look at today in 1 John chapter 1, just the first chapter today. So if you have your Bibles, grab your Bible, your tablet or your phone or whatever. And so I tell people, don't leave your phones at home. Don't leave your tablets at home. Or if that's your Bible, bring your Bible, whatever it is. But let's go to 1 John chapter 1. We're just going to read just the first chapter today, and then we're going to be into the other chapters as we move along in the series. Here we go, verse number 1. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the word of life. The one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him, and now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us. We proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that you may fully share our joy. This is the message We heard from Jesus. And by the way, the purpose of John is to lead us and to talk to us about happiness and joy. Happiness is short term. You can experience joy and life in Jesus. Verse 5, this is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim to have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim that we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that this world has no place in our hearts. John opens up the first chapter in the first three verses with making three proclamations. And then we're going to take a look at them today. Very first thing, and they're mind-boggling. I'm just going to keep saying, they are mind-boggling. Number one, here's what he says. We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning. We'll talk about that in just a moment. It's mind-boggling. Number two, he says, we proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. That's a really good place if you're someone who says amen in church, to say amen. I mean, hallelujah. Shout it out. That's good, or whatever. We proclaim to you. Thirdly, we proclaim to you what we ourselves have actually seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. Three times in the first three verses, he uses that word proclaim. In fact, I've circled it in my Bible. Some of your Bibles will say, use the word declare, and some of them use different words. We proclaim to you these three truths. And I want to talk to you about them because I just want us to embrace them. Because I've sat on these throughout the week. I have found myself again in that place of go like, they're mind-boggling. They're life-changing. If we can just grasp the truth of what John is saying here, the living, active Word of God that leads us and directs us in all life that we're to embrace. Proclaim means this. It's just, definition is pretty simple. It's to declare something with emphasis. You declare something with emphasis. So, if you're a parent, you have proclaimed and you have declared with emphasis some instruction to your student, haven't you? So you've said like, okay, look at me. I'm not going to talk to you until you're looking me straight in the eye. You've done that, haven't you? Or you've taken them, you know, gently by the cheeks. I use the word gently. And you said, look at me. Or you're gonna say something with emphasis because you want them to hear, right? You're going to do something. It just doesn't work if you just mention it. If you're the person standing on the corner up here and you're trying to direct people to the housing development up the street, or you're the person, you know, here in a few months or 6 months or whatever it is, you know, when tax time comes around, you know, and you're going to direct people to the local tax preparer, you're going to stand out there in the Statue of Liberty uniform. Right? With a sign that says tax preparer, we're the best, or whatever. If you're out here on the corner and you're trying to direct people up the street to the housing development, you've got that sign, right? It doesn't work if you just do this. Right? You see what they do. I don't know how they do it. It's like an art form, I think. Flipping that thing everywhere, right? All this kind of magic stuff with it like that. And to do what? To bring emphasis to the one thing that they're just trying to declare or proclaim. Like, you need to go up the street and you need to go check out this housing development. And they're flipping that thing everywhere. Construction flaggers are the same. God love them. I know Jesus loves the flaggers. I know he does because he loves everybody. But I love them too. But I get really frustrated sometimes, huh, with the flaggers. Now, here's the, I've never said anything bad to them. Thought stuff, but I've never said. I've rolled down my window. I've talked really, really nicely, but man, it just drives me nuts that they would take and point. First of all, stop, and I can read the stop sign. But they got to do this, you know, right, to draw emphasis, right? And you don't need, if you're a flagger here, I love you. I want to say, because I know you care about people and you care about me and you're trying to keep workers safe, all of that. But I don't need to be directed around a 50-ton or whatever it weighs grader in the middle of the road, because I will not drive into that thing, I promise you. I will go around it, and I'll follow traffic and do all the kinds of stuff. One time I stopped, and I was the first car in line. And I could read the stop sign, right? And I get this. You know, I'm thinking, I can read the sign, I know. And so I lifted my foot off the brake just a little bit. And I moved the car forward, like 1 inch. But they have like eyesight. They can see it all. And I get that. And I'm in an unmarked car. I don't think the person knows who I am. Second time, I lift my foot off the brake, and I move forward just a little bit. And what do I get? That right there again. You know, I won't tell you if I did it the third time, but here's the deal. You know, it's like proclaiming, like emphasis. That's what proclamations do. They're a point that's being made with emphasis. And that's what John is doing. And I've said already, and I'm keep saying, what he proclaims to you and to me is mind-boggling. And if we can just grasp the truth today, and we could walk out being reminded of some of us maybe for the very, very first time, I promise you, it will change your life. The very first thing he says, I proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning. I want you to just think about that for just a moment. Now, there are two different thoughts here that John is really talking about from the beginning of the gospel proclamation, or that he was probably talking about, could be talking about the beginning in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, in John, the other gospel that he wrote, John 1:1, he writes, in the beginning, the Word. And so you have the beginning of the gospel proclamation, and then you have the beginning, saying the one who existed from the beginning. And I align myself with the thinking that he's talking about both. He's talking about the one from the beginning of the gospel proclamation, but he's also talking about the one who existed from all time. It's mind-boggling. Think about it. Our finite minds can't even wrap around that thought, I don't think. That he was the one who was and is and will be. He was and he is and he will be. Hebrews chapter 13 says it this way. If you know it, say it with me. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. How can we wrap our heads around this truth? He is the one. John is proclaiming he is the one who existed from the very beginning. Dr. James Merritt, I love the way he kind of describes this. And this is what he says. He says, there never was a time when Jesus was not, nor is there a time when he will not be. Think about it. He was and is co-equal, co-eternal, and co-existent with God the Father. He was pre-existent before creation. He was post-existent after creation. He is permanently existent throughout creation. It gets better. In the beginning, from the beginning, before the beginning, and after the beginning, Jesus has always been. Another good place to say amen. It is. Jesus is from the beginning, before the beginning, and after the beginning. He was, and he is, and he will be. I just want you to think about that for a moment. Because this is where it applies to you and to me. This thing that John is proclaiming as truth from God's word. Jesus is in your every moment. Think about that. Jesus is in your every moment. Now, some of us are sitting here today and we find ourselves in a moment that's discouraging. It feels, humanly speaking, it feels dark. Here's what I want to say to you. Jesus, the one who was, who is, and who will be, is in your moment right now. There are some of you who are trying to figure out your way and kind of navigate through life. here's what I want to say to you. Jesus is in your moment. He was, and he is, and he will be. He's in the beginning, from the beginning, before the beginning, and after the beginning. Jesus has always been, and he always will be. Some of you had somebody walk out of your life in a relationship, and you just left, and you feel all alone. Here's what I want to say to you. You are not alone. Humans may have abandoned you, but not Jesus. The one who was, is, and he will be tomorrow too. Some of us having difficulty at work, and we just don't understand what's going on, and we feel all alone at work, and we feel like there's no direction in our life. The one who existed from the beginning, before the beginning, and after the beginning, and who will always be and has always been, is in your moment right now. My breath prayer is rooted in Colossians and rooted in this truth. It just goes like this. Lord, you are in all and over all, everywhere, every time. Lord, you are in all and over all, everywhere, and every time. It's mind-boggling. And I'm okay with my small brain not wrapping around the magnificence of that truth and understanding it completely. But here's what I know. God's word says it. The inspired word of God says it. That's the truth that I hang on, and that's the truth that you can hang. I don't care what moment that you're in right now. He was, and he is, and he will be tomorrow. He will be when you walk out of this. The second proclamation that he makes is this. He is the one who is eternal life. Who is eternal life. What's in the mind of John here is the incarnate Christ. That is, God sent his son to this earth in human flesh to do something that you and I could not do. To live and to die as a sacrifice and be resurrected again. And to redeem us. We could not do that. But God sent his son Jesus into this world. And that's why John says, we've touched him. And we know him. That's why the apostles were willing to die for him. He was the one who, he didn't come, by the way. He didn't just like drop in on us just to learn stuff. And to learn how to kind of like, could you show me how to be a better carpenter here? That's not why he came. You know why he came? He came for one reason. Just one reason. He came in order to be the savior of mankind. To give his life as a sacrifice for you and for me. I told you, these are mind-boggling proclamations. You just think about that. God loved you and he loved me that much right there. To send his son, Jesus, to the world. As a human, as mankind, in human flesh, to live and to die and to be a sacrifice for you and me? Can we even wrap our heads around that? I don't think so. But he did. He is the one who is eternal life. There is eternal life in none other or no other. And you might be here one trying to get there through some other means. I mean, you might be living a really good life. God bless you. You might be working hard and working harder, but working hard and working harder is not going to earn you eternal life. The only thing that brings you into eternal life is the sacrifice of Jesus and trusting in him. And that's why we talk about it a lot. That's why you give tens upon tens of thousands of dollars every year to take this gospel message that he is eternal life to our local community here and to the world. That's why Gateway is here. I thank God for all the opportunities we have to feed people and to clothe people and to make a positive impact in our community. But we are here for this reason right here. That's it. 1 John 1:9 says, is this the application of it? If we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. That's it right there. So I say, if you're trying to get there any other way, The pathway to eternal life is really simple. We confess our sins, he's faithful, and he's just, and he forgives us. That's it. If we confess our need for him, if we confess our sins to him, he's faithful, and he's just. He doesn't turn people away. He doesn't say you're not quite ready yet. He doesn't say you haven't been there yet. He doesn't say you haven't made it yet. If we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He does what we could not do. And John proclaims that. He is the one who is eternal life. Well, he has the third proclamation. It's the last one that we'll look at today. We proclaim what we ourselves have actually seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. We've seen it. We've heard it. We proclaim it so that now you can have fellowship with us. That is, as we come into relationship with Jesus, we come into relationship with one another. That's what that means, and that's what he is talking about. We're in relationship with him, the head, and now we're in relationship with one another. Now, we love the relationship with Jesus part, don't we? But sometimes we struggle with the relationship with one another, don't we? We do. But I've said it before this way, and I'll say it again today. You can't be connected to the head without being connected to the body. The fellowship, and that word, one of the means is just, we just share together. And something incredible happens. And again, just to remind us, and in fact, in my Bible, I wrote this on top of this passage in Acts chapter 2, relational community, because that's what we're talking about. Being in relationship with Jesus and being in relationship with one another, all believers devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper that Josiah led us in, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place. They sold their property, and they sold their possessions, and they shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together. They met in homes. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity. It's what happens when we enter into a relationship with Jesus and we enter into a relationship with one another. That's how this lives out. And that's the testimony or the witness or the story that we give to a world who is looking for something. We declare this. We proclaim this right here. And we proclaim this right here. We're connected to Jesus, and we're connected to one another. I want you to do something real quick. I want you to just turn whoever and shake their hand. Just shake their hand. Shake their hand. Everybody get a handshake, right? Reach across the aisle. Reach behind you. Do whatever. Shake a hand. Shake a hand. I'm going to talk to you about that for just a moment, and then we're going to pray. Okay. Did everybody? Nobody was missed, right? Okay. So, according to what we read, what we just did, shaking one another's hand, it's rooted in medieval times. And here's what that meant. So since weapons, there's a percentage of people who are left-handed, so you have to kind of translate this, right? So weapons are typically carried in the right hand. So you get a sword, you can stick somebody with it, right? And so what it simply meant was my weapon is down, my sword is down, so is yours, so let's shake hands. It's become more a form of greeting for us now, or maybe an agreement. But there's no weapon in my hand. There's no weapon in your hand. So let's fellowship together. It's only Jesus who can take a group of people like you and me. Different, we're different. We come from different pathways. We come from different experiences in life. To bring us all together to live out these magnificent, mind-boggling truths that he is, and he was, and he will be, and he is eternal life. Now come together and share that good news. I don't really care if you like brown chairs or red chairs, red carpet or brown carpet, tennis shoes or no, that doesn't make any difference at all. What we focus on are the truths that Jesus has given to us that are unchangeable and they are life-changing. And we declare that and we proclaim that. Amen. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to pray for those of you who have never experienced Jesus coming to him. Faith, crossing the line of faith, making him your Savior, making him your Lord. And I don't presume that we're all there. I don't. And those of you who are joining us online, I don't presume anything. You know, those of us who have come and gathered today, maybe we've kind of we've kind of been thinking about it. I'm going to pray for you. The prayer is really simple. It comes from 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, and he forgives us. And when we do that, when we pray that prayer that I'll lead you in, we go from spiritual darkness to spiritual light. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you, those of you who maybe you've kind of wandered away, and you can remember a time when you came to Jesus, but you have just let life interfere. Maybe it's been from disappointment in your life. And this morning, you're reminded, look, he's in your moment. He has not abandoned you. He will never abandon you. He was and is, and he will be tomorrow. Maybe that's what you need to hear today. Maybe that's what the Spirit is saying to you. I'm going to pray for you today. So will you join me? So, Father, I thank you for the truth of your word, for the reality of your word today. I thank you for these truths that though they're hard for our finite minds to fully understand and to wrap around, they are nonetheless your truth. And we embrace them today. You are the one who existed from the beginning, and you're in our moment tonight. I would pray, Lord, that in this moment right now today, there are, for those who are walking through hard times, tough times, dark times, and they feel all alone, I pray for you today that Jesus would just remind you that he's in your moment right now. You're facing business decisions. He's in that moment. You're facing relationship decisions. He's in your moment. You're facing the breakup of a relationship, and you feel all alone. He's in your moment today. You're trying to figure out life, right? Which way to go? He's in your moment. He was, he is, and he will be. He will never abandon you. For those of you, you've never confessed Jesus as Lord, I'm going to pray for you right now. The prayer is just simple. It just says, God, I confess to you my sin. I ask you to forgive me, and I ask you to come into my life today. I make you Lord of my life. I want to give my heart. I want to give my life to you. And if you pray that prayer from your heart, you move from spiritual darkness to spiritual light. He is eternal life. Some of us need to be released from trying and working and doing the best. We're good people. You're good people. But it's not our works that grant us eternal life. It's the sacrifice of Jesus, and we receive that today. Lord, I would pray as we go today that we will grasp a hold of these truths today that have been proclaimed and were to proclaim. I pray, Father, that your living, active word that we embrace today will change us. For some, it will give us a brand new hope. Will lead us and will guide us through dark days. For some, when we get up tomorrow, Lord, it's your word that will lift us and bring the joy to our heart and to our life, regardless of what circumstance we might be walking into. You're always with us, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. Now, got one more thing to share with you before you go. First of all, next week, we're going to be in 1 John chapter 2. So go to read it. Just read it over and over and over. We're going to be talking about, John talks about false teachers. And do you know there are false teachers out there today? There are teachers who will lead you astray, and we're going to be talking a little bit about next week. There are people who are saying and teaching you and trying to teach you things that are not true. And I will just tell you, masses of people are following them. And we're going to talk about that next week and some other things as well. But listen, we need to understand truth. We need to understand truth. And then the last thing, if you're here, would you, on the seat, pick one up as you leave. There's this flyer right here. And I told you, we're involved in our community, and God has just opened up wonderful ways and opportunities for us. And so we're partnering with Fishline in a number of ways, and it's listed there, some food items that you can bring in. Operation Christmas Child, that's in the lobby. Our kids' coat drive, so we've taken Operation Day of Hope, and we're actually making it 4 days throughout the year. And right now we're collecting kids' coats right here, so you can read the description there. But also, we're giving out 100 holiday food baskets, 50 at Thanksgiving and 50 at Christmas, and we need your help. So a friend of mine says, Tom, always tell us what you need. Well, we need $5,000 to do that. And so I know that we can do that. And so we're going to be receiving an offering next week and throughout the week. And one way that you can give is to text the word give. And many of us, I use the text to give. And that information is right there. So you can do that anytime. You don't have to wait till next week. Or you can bring an offering next week for holiday baskets. There are people who need us. And I love what I heard at Fishline one time. It's not a handout. It's a hand up. I love that. And so offering a hand up to 100 families in our community. So we just invite you. You are so generous. And just remember that when we do that so we can live out the gospel. Amen. And then tonight, if you're interested in going to Africa, we've got 2 trips. Dr. Moore is going to be leading one in November. Joyce and Stephanie are leading the girls. I get to go on that one in July. And so we're going to be talking about those. And so if you have any interest in going, you should come tonight. And I don't want you to worry about the money, because here's what I tell people. If Jesus wants you to go, you don't have to worry about the money. That's like the last thing you should be worrying about, okay? So come tonight at 5 o'clock over in the West Wing. Father, we go in your grace and your mercy. I pray your blessing upon each one here today, Lord, that as we go out and proclaim these truths, your kingdom will grow. In Jesus' name, amen.